Good morning. Greetings from Melbourne. And I'm so happy to be here with my wife. And I'm so thankful that you have given us this opportunity to have this privilege to be with you this morning. And I just want to give you some, just a quick report of our church. Our church plant in the city, and it is Southern Cross Church, and we would like to invite you, and thank you so much for those who visited us, and I'm really encouraged and be that seeing families from Hobart to visit the church in Southern Cross Church. And this last few weeks, we are so thankful because the Lord has given us this opportunity to be in touch with many pre-believers. We call it pre-believers, not unbelievers, but pre-believers, because we are praying that they will turn to the Lord as the Lord will save them. And that was a month or less than a month ago that we were praying. I think we've sent our newsletter, The Chronicles of Gorgonia, because I'm Jim Gorgonia, and we are sending the Chronicles to them, to you, the church. And we have this, our prayer is for this 20 group of people to come to the saving grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this picture is not the people that we are asking you to pray for. This happened last 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, when we have this intentional birthday party to have youth group. And most of them, this you can see them, that they are different colors, different backgrounds, nationalities, which is the prayer of our church to reach out the people, nations within our nations in the city of Melbourne. That this, I think, 90% of them, except my two girls, two daughters, and two girls who's attending our church, are believers, and the rest of them are pre-believers. So the prayer is that the Lord will continue to add, not only to add souls to His kingdom, but these souls will be able, that we will be able to disciple them so that they will be able to reach out the people who are in the city. So we are so thankful. Thank you so much. I call you Hobart Church, for helping us, for journeying with us, because we know, and I do believe that you know, that this work is not easy, and it is not hard as well. The work that we have is impossible, because without God, we can do nothing. So that's why we would like to ask for your continuous prayer and support, that as we see these souls enter into the kingdom of God, they'll be able to say to you as well that your labor of love is not in vain in the Lord. So we are inviting you on the 23rd of February, will be our second year anniversary. And other people are asking, oh, we are celebrating for a second year anniversary. And I said, yes, because one of the reasons that we would like to celebrate is that to celebrate with us, because after 2 years of church plant while raising kids, I'm still married. And my wife is still here, and she's still madly in love with me. Sometimes she is mad, but most of the time she's in love. Right, guys? So that's a goal, and I'm so thankful that the Lord has given us this favor. The Lord has given us this a glimpse of what He can do to a man and woman who is fully committed, devoted, dependent on Him. So that's a quick overview or a quick report of the Southern Cross Church, and we would like to invite you to come over when you are flying somewhere else. But Southern Cross or Melbourne is your stopover. We would like to welcome you. So, okay, for this time, I'm so thankful for the opportunity that I have to be with you again, second time around. I'm so thankful for Paul, for the elders, for inviting us the second time around. And you know the human nature and others in the world of maybe public speaking, preaching, or teaching. If you are invited the second time, there's something, and I don't want to go on that road of something that there's something in you, Jim. No, because the topic that I was given, or maybe I chose this topic, is a topic of humility. And one time, because this part of humility, I had a choice of choosing between humility or missions, or humility or baptism. But humility captivated me, not because I'm humble, but because I want to be humble. And it's far from reality that I'm here to tell you that I'm going to teach you about humility, because I got it. Because I'm still trying to get hold of that. But with this coming to, I'm pondering about this humility and pondering about me being invited the second time, said, Lord, help me not to think that there's something in me, but to think that there's something in you. To the point that God humbled me already. Because one time, I told it to our church that, you know what, I'm preparing for a month or 2 months for this. But when I said and sent the message and I'm going to preach about humility, I dreamt of you here at the church. And then I arrived just like this Sunday. And when I arrived, no one is here but Paul. To tell me that they are not coming, Jim, because they know that you are here. Like, oh, okay. And then he left. Okay. It's like Job. Yes, I survived. So that to tell you that they are not coming. So what I've learned and still learning is these two things. Be humble or be humbled. Many times in our lives, we are being humbled because we failed to be humble. And in our passage this morning, I would like to invite you to turn with me in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, because this is a passage wherein the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, gave this parable. A parable wherein he wants to drive home a certain message that you and I can remember, a message that you and I can apply, a message that you and I can benefit. So let's look at this passage in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Verse 9, he, pertaining to Jesus, he also told this parable to someone, or to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, O God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector, because I fast twice a week, I give tithes to all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's quickly pray again. Father in heaven, Lord, I'm trembling at your word, knowing that I'm just a man delivering your great word, the message of hope and encouragement and challenge and blessing to your people here at Hope. I pray, Father, that the promise of your Holy Spirit will continue to be experienced by each one of us, the promise that he will be our teacher, he will be our comforter, our encourager. And Father, if there's anyone in this meeting right now who don't know your Son, Jesus, yet, may this day will be the day of salvation for them as you continue to teach us to be like him, to be humble like your Son, Jesus. And may you encourage us, Lord, that it is the power of your Spirit who will transform us into the likeness of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. May you use me, Lord, as a vehicle of your powerful word. Use my voice and help me to be clear, to be powerful and authoritative as I deliver your word of life, the word of hope. For your name's sake, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Be humbled or be humble. Be humble or be humbled. This is the passage that we're going to study this morning, and I just want you to focus. Maybe some of you are familiar with this parable, right? And maybe we can identify that sometimes we feel like we are the Pharisee, or sometimes we feel like we are the tax collector. But this morning, let's investigate this parable, and not merely just to focus on the humility itself, but also why is it that we are having a hard time to be humble? Because this parable, we can see that there are three things here: the foundation, the focus, and the finale. The foundation of the first one, when Jesus is giving a parable, a story, he is setting a scenario wherein people will imagine. That's why he's the master story shower. Not just a storyteller, but he is a master story shower. He's showing to the people that this is what's happening. There are two men entering, going up to the temple, and one, the Pharisee. And the Pharisee has this kind of pride in him that his foundation is that he is looking at himself. The foundation is himself. He went up to worship so that people will see that how good he is. When we read this passage, it shows that this Pharisee stood up, maybe in a place wherein all the people who are worshiping that morning can see him, or maybe in the pulpit, or maybe in the center, and he is praying audibly, loudly. His foundation is like, Lord, look at me. God, he's using the name Theos. God, look at me. I thank you. What a speech, right? Like the speech of being godly. I thank you, Holy Father, that I am not like the other people, men who are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. When we see this, when we hear this, it's like we churn and our stomachs like, no way, I'm not going to say that. I'm not like that, not like that Pharisee. So you are better than the Pharisee now, if you have that kind of thinking. Because sometimes we are looking at other people when we worship. But when we worship, are we really worshiping God or looking into ourselves that we deserve to deliver this worship to the Lord. Because it seems that his foundation is not strong enough. That's why it will not last. It will not stand. This Pharisee went up to the temple so that he can show to the people that focus on me. He focused on his achievements, that I am not like this. I didn't do this. And he focused on his achievements. That's why I chose the title Descending to Greatness, because in this world that we live in our society, in order for you to reach greatness, you need to climb that ladder of success, going up. But the Lord Jesus himself has this paradox. If you want to be the greatest of all, you need to be the servant of all. But for this Pharisee, since his foundation is off and foundation is on himself, his focus is on his achievements. That's why the finale is he's rejected. But this is interesting because he mentioned this. What are his achievements? Aside from, I'm not doing this, I'm not an adulterous man, I'm a faithful man. But he said, I fast twice daily, or weekly. I give tithes to all that I get. Do you remember this? I call it pillars of Jewish or Judaism. We're in three pillars that was mentioned by Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, which was when you pray, when you fast, when you give. First of all, Jesus himself said, when you pray, don't look at or don't show to the people that you are praying, that you are so humble, that you are so holy. Go into your closet. Because the God that you are praying for, who sees you in secret, will reward you openly. But if you are doing it for the sake of you being applauded by people, you're going to receive your reward. They have their own reward. And what was that? Respected, being respected by the people around him. And then when you give, don't let other people will see that you are giving. Because when you give in secret, the Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And when you fast, don't look gloomy so that the people will see that you are like, wow, you are fasting. Don't bother me, I'm fasting right now. Holy example, duty. He has these three practices of prayer, giving, and fasting. And I'm not advocating here that it's wrong. It's wrong if the Lord himself will say that what you're doing is not really pleasing in his sight. You want to be the greatest, right? But the problem here is this. When we are focusing on this, always remember that I is the center of the pride. I. It is I. I will do this. I can do this. I am great. I remember the bumper sticker wherein it says, it is so hard, it is so difficult to be humble if you are great as I am. Well, don't print that t-shirt, right? Or maybe you'll print it. And, yeah, it's so difficult to be humble if you are great as I am. But when you have this kind of pride, I think it's hard for us to think that, yeah, it is self-focus. We are focusing on our achievements. We are focusing that I'm not doing this and other people are doing that. And I'm not like him or like her. So let's look at this pride. This is the simple, or this is the original sin that God hates. This is the one that kicks Satan or Lucifer out from heaven. And let's look at this. I think I've seen it here. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 to 14, it says, there are five I ams of Lucifer here that portrays reminding him, you said in your heart, pertaining to Lucifer, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. The first one is like he wants to ascend. He wants to be above God. The second one, I will set my throne on high, pertaining that he has a throne. He has a position. God made him the best of the angels. He is like the chief of all the angels, and yet he wants more. He's not content with what God has given him. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north, going to that direction wherein I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. The creation or the creature wants to be the creator. Just think of or evaluate ourselves right now. Sometimes we are so focused on ourselves that two things will happen. If you are so focused with yourselves, there are two things will happen. First, if you are doing well and comparing yourself to others, you will feel so good, right? That's why we have a rule at home. My wife and I have this rule that when you are about to sleep, don't open your social media. Because when you look this person or your friends, oh, he's in Europe. They're in Europe. They've been traveling. And then, oh, poor me. I'm still looking after my four kids. I cannot go anywhere. And you will feel like having this pity party. Because what you are seeing is the edited version of their lives. Or maybe if you will see a friend who went to other place, oh, I've been there. You'll feel proud. I've been to five countries or more. I've been to this. And you will feel good to the point that pride is creeping in. And that's a danger. Because when you're looking at this point right now in your life that I want to be humble, and yet I cannot resist to be proud. I cannot resist it because it is so strong in me that I want people to validate me. I want people to say that I'm doing well. Is that you this morning? Is that me this morning? That's why we want to evaluate, we want to reflect on our lives this morning, why we are thinking or why we are having a hard time to be humble. But let's look at this second part. Because the second part is when we look at this, we just need to ask this question, how can I cultivate this kind of humility in my life? Let's look at the passage again, wherein the Lord himself, there are two men, right? The Pharisee, we've seen the Pharisee, I don't want to be like him. But this man, the tax collector during that time was the most hated people in that society, because they are notorious in collecting excess tax and not really using it for good. That's why for them, if Pharisee is the example or picture of holiness, this publican or this tax collector is a picture of an outcast, a sinful. That's why Jesus compared this, that this is a Pharisee and this is now this tax collector. What did he do? The tax collector went on the corner. He don't want to miss this opportunity, this chance for him to worship. But he cannot even worship because he knows that he is filthy. He knows that the God that he is worshiping is the holy, holy God. That's why his foundation is that he cannot stand on his own merit and his own achievements. So what he did was that he beat his breast. He cannot even look up because he feels so unworthy and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. His foundation is God. The focus is God's mercy. And then his sinfulness. God himself said, you will be forgiven. It is I who will forgive you. It is I who will give you this righteousness that this Pharisee is hoping to get. Remember, when we look at this, I think it's good for us to remember what is the purpose why Jesus is telling this parable. Maybe let's look back again first. This Jesus told this parable to someone who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. It is difficult for you to enter into the kingdom of God if your righteousness will not exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. And how come? How can we exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees? We cannot. But that's not, the Pharisees is not the standard. The standard is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So with Jesus, we can say, I think Laura mentioned about that, that it's impossible, we cannot do this. But Jesus Christ has done it for us. It is the righteousness of Jesus that we can be declared righteous. That's why when we look at this at the last part, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. What do you mean by this justified word? It looks a big word, but it is like declared righteous. Me, Jim, being declared righteous? Without Jesus paying the price for me, my wife will say, no, Jim is not righteous. He is not righteous. But because of what Jesus Christ has done, I can say, and my wife has no option but to say amen of what Jesus Christ has done. It is because of what Jesus Christ has done that we are being called or declared righteous. Therefore, when this man being called or declared righteous, justified rather than the other, this is what we need to take home. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Early in the life of the Apostle Paul, we can see that he is the example of humility, right? In his first letter to the Corinthians, he said that I am the least of all the apostles. Like, wow, what a humble man. But Paul is still growing in his humility. That he says, I think in Ephesians, he said that I am the least of all God's people. Because sometimes when you mention, yeah, I'm just the least of the pastor, but I'm a pastor. Or I am an apostle. Still, there is something, right? There's pride in it. I'm still the apostle. Even though I'm the least, but I'm still the apostle. But he's growing in his humility. That's why in Ephesians he said that I am the least of all of God's people. But he's still growing in his humility. That's why in 1 Timothy himself, he said, this is what I do. This is Jesus Christ came into this world to save the sinners, of whom I am the worst. For Paul himself saying that I'm the least of all the apostles, and then for Paul to say that I'm the least of all God's people is something. But when he said that Jesus Christ came into this world to save the sinners, and whom I am the chiefest of all sinners. What a humility. That's why if you want to cultivate this kind of humility, I have this ABCD. E, or maybe F. I'm still thinking of that. You can have your own. This is not really the only way for us to cultivate this humility. First, acknowledge that without God, you are nothing. Early in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, Lord, you acknowledge that without God, you are nothing. Without Him, our good works is as filthy rags. Second, begin your day. Begin your day by expressing your thanks, your gratitude to the Lord. Remember the song, count your blessings and name them one by one, and you will be surprised what the Lord has done. There are times that we are so busy counting our problems to the point that, okay, no one is affirming me, no one is complimenting me, I will compliment my own self. But if you will start your day expressing gratitude, at least three. And I do believe that you have more than three. The bed that you have, the warm bed, the warm place. You are not homeless. I'm not homeless. When I wake up and my wife is there, Lord, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the great salvation that you have given me. The second, cast all your cares on the Lord. We need to cast all our cares on Him because He cares. Because if you fail to cast all your cares on the Lord, the problem will be if you made that day, if you make it, when you will say, I have accomplished a lot of things without casting all my cares to the Lord, you will just say, how good I am, right? And then you will do it again and again. And the fourth one will be this. If you will cast all your cares on the Lord, you cannot help it but to give all the glory to God. You will keep on glorifying Him over and over and over again. And if your goal is to glorify God, even the people will say to you, you know, Jim is like this, Jim is like that. You will feel miserable, right? I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said that, Jim, can I talk to you? Because he said, my pastor told me that there are five guys that I have offended. And the pastor didn't tell me which one or who are the people. And the problem is, he didn't tell me what did I say, what words did I use to offend them. That's why he's paranoid. It's like, Jim, he's asking for some direction. And I've been praying and I'm asking, Lord, please, I need your help. Because there's no way that I'll be able to help him. Because that's also I want to encourage him, but I don't want to tell him right away, you know what, brother? Your problem is your pride. You are affected to the point that you pull back on what you're doing in the church because you know and you're thinking, you're paranoid that this guy maybe, is this the guy? Is this the one? What if maybe you can approach, and this is what I told him, and he said, what if you will approach your pastor that thank him? Pastor, can you please tell the five guys thank you? And he says, like, thanking them, right? Because they didn't know how bad you are. They just heard what you said, but yeah, you're worse than that, right? But I didn't say it directly. I told him the story. You know what? When I'm dealing with this problem, my professor in America said, Jim, be thankful. Because what they saw in you, what they heard, what you said, is not really the whole you. You are worse than that, right? But be thankful that they didn't know how bad you are. So that's why when you get offended or when someone offends you, or either or, just think, right, yeah. That's why I don't want you to ask my wife about me because she knows me more than anyone else here. And our wives, our spouses here, they know who you are. That's why when I asked the church who are looking for a pastor, I said, don't interview the pastor only. You also interview the wives and also the kids if they are grown up. Ask them, if your dad or if your husband is applying to be a pastor, will you accept him? Because if the answer is no, his reputation inside is not good. He can portray that I'm a good speaker. But deep inside, the Lord knows your heart. So if you will cultivate this, declaring daily that all the glory belongs to God, your goal will be one audience. I want to please my King. I want to please the Lord. That's why here, express your trust and dependence on God. Lord, I want to glorify you today. Will you please help me? Give me the faith, give me the courage, give me the wisdom so that I'll be able to glorify you. I'm totally all yours. This is one of the things that I'm learning, that I have nothing to prove, but I have everything to improve. I have nothing to prove, but I have everything to improve. And this expression of trust and dependence on the Lord will help me to glorify Him. And then lastly, fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we can say that, yeah, the goal in this life is to be like Him. We've mentioned it over and over again that we are here on earth not just to enjoy life or to tell the people how bad they are and how good you are, but you are here on earth so that you can be a light and a salt in this world. In short, you and I are here into this world so that we can be like Jesus. And no wonder, that's why in Philippians, I just want to read this. I didn't put it there, so that I'm encouraging you to reflect on this when you have your time tonight. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, I'm going just to speed this up, but I will start with verse 3. Philippians 2, if you have your Bibles with you or your iPads with you, follow this with your eyes. Philippians 2, 3, it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of those people around you or others. And this is what Paul is saying to us. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking a form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in a human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. As we end this talk of humility, this is the best time for us to look at how Christ followed this or exemplified this model of us going to greatness by declining. Going to greatness, wherein we can see here that with what we have read, true humility, as what Rocio mentioned, is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. This is true humility. And Christ exemplified this by going to this. Jesus' humility descending to greatness. Basement number one, he gave up his divine form. He emptied himself. Basement two, emptying himself of any rights. He is the creator of this world, and yet he took the form of man and became a man, basement 3. Basement 4, he became a servant. Basement 5, he was obedient to the point of death. Not just any other death, but basement 6, he died a shameful death on the cross. Do you want to cultivate a heart of humility? Look at Jesus. One speaker, one pastor mentioned that in order for us really to cultivate this heart of humility is don't think less of yourself, but focus on what Jesus has done. He should be the center. He should be the focus of everything that we do here. That's why I'm so afraid, I'm nervous before going up here, and I'm so thankful for the prayer of Sean, because I'm so nervous because I'm full of myself. What will people will say? Or maybe they will stand up there and walk out, that Jim is talking. Or I will be confident that, Lord, you are with me. Even if they walk out or throw money at me, or no, throw tomatoes. Or I still, Lord, I want to glorify you. When I wake up this morning, Lord, it is you that I want to obey. It is you that I want to honor. It is you that I want to serve. I want to serve your people. So please give me this confidence that you are with me. The only reason that I can stand before you is because I have this confidence, not in myself, but confidence in the promise of God that he said, I am with you always and I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's why I can live in this life with confidence because of what Jesus has promised. I have this blessed hope. I can say that I have this blessed hope, not because of me, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. So it's the focus of our lives right now is towards Jesus, towards the Lord who died for you. That's why if you want to cultivate this heart of humility, try to survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. When you look at that, when you ponder on what Christ has done, we've sung a while ago about how indescribable the power of God is, how majestic he is in creating the universe. And yet he took the form of a man. And not only that, he humbled himself by taking the form of a servant, doulos, dying, not just dying on a simple kind of death, a normal kind of death, but a shameful kind of death, so that you and I will not be shamed, so that you and I will experience not only to be exalted, but you have the privilege to exalt Christ in your life. That's why the challenge for you and I this morning is, are you willing to be humble? Or are you willing to be humbled? I'm afraid to say that I got it, that I'm humble, because I'm not. That's why I'm still in the pursuit, in the journey of this Christ-likeness. My goal is not to be humble. My goal is to be like Christ. And as you fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and survey every single day of your life the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, every pride, everything that we are showing off to the world will be nothing. That's why Jeremiah has this takeaway for us, a reminder for all of us. In Jeremiah 9:23, it says that let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not this rich man boast in his riches. Let not this strong man boast in his strength. We have nothing to boast. But if you want to boast, let him who boast in this, that he knows me, that he knows the Lord, that he is the Lord who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. And in this, I delight, says the Lord. That's why knowing God more is our joy, our pursuit, our goal in this life. And that's our finale. If our foundation is God, the focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of the Word of God, the focus is on the Lord of what Jesus Christ has done, our finale will be God will exalt the humble because He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I want you to bow with me as we close. Father, what a privilege and amazing truth that you have given us, that we are your children. That's why we can call you our Father in heaven. Will you please allow us, Lord, to hallow your name, to glorify your name, to magnify your name, and see your kingdom come and your will be done in and through our lives. Father, as we pursue to live a life well lived, the only way for us to experience the joy, the blessedness of living this kind of life is by being like your Son, Jesus Christ. He must increase, I must decrease. For I cannot do anything apart from Him. And may this be a reminder for all of us, Lord, to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy of all the glory, of all the praises. And that's why, Father, if there's anyone in our midst right now who don't know you yet, Lord Jesus, may this day will be the day of salvation for them. And for us, Lord, that you have saved, that you have redeemed, that you have bought, that you have declared righteous, may we be like Jesus here on earth. And that will be a blessing around the world, all for your glory and all for your honor. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. And I believe, Lord, that you will continue to purify us and mold us and shape us.